Hey everybody, this is Steli FD.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of The Startup Chat, we're going to talk about common ways entrepreneurs are being brainwashed and why it makes us angry and how to change that.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
But before we go into the episode, we have a public service announcement. We are going to have the very first live and in-person The Startup Chat event. It's going to be this month. So listen up. It's going to be on March 31st from 6 to 9 p.m. in Palo Alto, that's in the Bay Area. If you're in the Bay Area, or if you're willing to buy a ticket from wherever you are in the world and fly here, we're not promising it's worth it.
We're not saying it's worth it.
We're not saying it's worth it, but we won't stop you. If you can make it physically to Palo Alto on March 31st.
At 6 p.m. Pacific.
6 p.m. Pacific. You're going to be able to join an exclusive group of the Startup Chat listeners, and we're going to do a Q&A episode where you can ask us questions, criticize, bullshit with us. We're going to have some beer and pizza. It's going to be a fun night. What you have to do to RSVP is you have to go to thestartupchat.com/FB for Facebook. Make sure to join the Facebook group if you're not already part of it. And then you need to do a little bit of the first post that is pinned is giving you the link to RSVP for the event. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, we want to see you there. So make sure to go to thestartupchat.com/FB, RSVP for the event, March 31st, 6 p.m., Palo Alto, The Startup Chat live recording. Now that we got that out of the way, brainwashing.
Yeah.
All right, so what is that even? Like, what are common ways we've observed that entrepreneurs are being brainwashed? And then who's doing the brainwashing and why? Let's talk about that a little bit.
Sure. And you know, some of it is like someone doesn't have to brainwash you for you to be brainwashed, right? You can just accept an idea and never think about the alternative. And one could say you were brainwashed because that's the only idea you entertained.
Yep.
In startup land, I think the brainwashing happens from founder to founder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not brainwashing. It's just anyone that you're listening to. Anyone that you're willing to be open to their feedback, advice, ideas, thoughts, recommendations, processes, things like that. Because, you know, a lot of founders, entrepreneurs, even people working at companies are sharing a lot of stuff, like how they do this, how they do that, how they started, how they do customer service, in your case, how you do sales, because that's how you teach people, you know, what your product can do and things like that. And then you have the other side, which is like investors. And you have them saying a whole bunch of stuff. And I think I'll give my marketing spin on it and tell you why I think this is a problem. And then I'm sure you have more thoughts. But like, I think this is a problem because there's so many ways that you can reach an audience, you know, and anyone can reach an audience. So what happens is anybody's message, whether it's right or wrong, gets out there. Just think about Donald Trump and think about all these things like that, right? Like whether it's a right or wrong message, it can get out there if someone has the skills. And so I think founders, people working on startups, people trying to start businesses, they're all susceptible to everyone else's ideas. When at the end of the day, they're running their own business and they have to make decisions for themselves, not based on someone else's idea.
Yeah. So I love that kind of general way of thinking of it. I do think that, you know, when I look at the broader, but the little universe of like entrepreneurial and business community that I am exposed to, I'm exposing myself to, there are the first thing people need to realize, and I don't think a lot of entrepreneurs, especially very, you know, inexperienced or new entrepreneurs realize, is that there are interest groups and there are biases. So when I look at what type of advice or messages people put out there, you want to not just take it for granted, but you want to ask yourself, who is it coming from? And what is that person's bias and worldview? And what are their self-interests?
Yeah. Or because even intention.
Intention,
right?
Yeah. Because those things are going to influence their message. And that doesn't mean that the message is bad. It might be the exact right message for you. But it means that you need to be cognizant of it to know who do you want to be basically brainwashed by or who not.
Yeah.
And have that self-awareness even to attach like the the context behind the advice. So there's let's talk about some groups very specifically.
Sounds good.
There are investors,
yeah,
right? VCs, institutional investors, angel, yeah, investors. They are a very strong interest group, at least in the kind of startup,
yep,
more tech world than we're a part of this. So they're investors, and they have messages to entrepreneurs. They,
yeah,
have advice.
Yeah.
They give guidelines on what,
yeah,
to do and how to do it. And they have very strong biases.
Yeah,
they do. Some good and some bad, and we can talk about them. There's the press in general, like all the outlets that write about,
yeah,
entrepreneurship.
Yeah. That's what most people are reading.
Yes, that's what, you,
yeah,
know, most people are reading to learn about it, to,
yeah,
read these stories, to be interested, to keep up to date. These outlets, the press, they have certain biases. There's a certain agenda and certain,
yeah,
needs.
Yeah.
And that
they
influences.
They hook up their friends, just like everyone else.
Yeah. And not only that, they want to sell advertising. They want to get,
sure,
a lot of page views, whatever,
yeah,
it is. And they will do whatever will bring them that result.
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm sure there's... Then there's the counterculture. You always have a counterculture that's somewhat dogmatic. You have the people that go, we're not with the cool kids, so we're going to be different, but we're going to hate the cool kids.
Yeah.
Just dogmatically.
Yeah.
Like, in all situations, all of them suck.
Yeah.
Like, these beautiful people
so,
over there.
So, are you talking about, like, self-funded founders that are,
yeah, I mean,
you know, talking crap on raising money,
yeah,
and all,
yeah,
that?
Yeah. I do think that there's a group of, like, self-funded bootstrap, whatever you,
yeah,
want to call it. There's a counterculture.
No, we call it self-funded.
Self-funded.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's the
Come on.
Heaton's Quest. Self-funded. I always say
Thank
self-funded
you.
Now.
Thank you.
And there's a group of very vocal, self-funded,
yeah,
people that are very like, these all people suck and funding,
yeah,
is always
and every
bad.
Every time something happens with a funded company,
oh,
that's,
yeah,
bad, they,
oh,
got to,
yeah,
jump on
they
it.
They celebrate.
Like, yo, what up? Like,
woo!
We were right. Woo!
Yeah.
I
which,
love that.
Which,
it's entertaining.
It is entertaining. You know, Schadenfreude, as,
yeah,
they say in German. But on the flip side, it'd be crazy. Imagine VCs or like whatever, VCs jumping on,
yeah,
every self-funded
company.
Mini,
yeah,
company that,
right,
didn't
it's
work
like,
out.
Oh, you only make $1 million a year.
Oh, this didn't work out without funding. Ha!
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
that would be hilarious. That would,
yeah,
be so weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, there are.
They're camps. There's interest groups.
Camps,
yeah.
And all of them have really good and really bad points, but there's some things I think that are, let's maybe focus on them.
Do you got to pick a camp first? Does that help with the brainwashing?
First, I think people don't pick camps. I think people, the way that most people look at things, this is grossly oversimplified.
That's okay.
But I think the way most people look at things are, you look at who are the popular people, because you kind of assume those people know more than others and they are worth more than others.
Yeah.
And you just try to be one of them.
Yep.
So, the $1 billion unicorn Google, that's,
yeah,
the...
I have to raise money to be successful like them.
Yes. So let me go to all these investors that are geniuses,
yeah,
that have invested in these companies,
yeah,
and just do whatever they say I should do, because they probably know.
People,
right,
think that?
I do think so. Yeah. Many people, you know how many early founders that come to the Valley, their number one agenda is, I want to raise money. And when,
oh, Stella, you said it so good. I almost wanted to give you money right
there.
There, like,
you
I
go.
Got money for you.
And they want to build a business. They want to do all these things.
Yeah.
But really what they want to do is raise a shit ton of money. It's just this validation. I know if I raise money, it means I'm going to be successful. It means I'm worthy. It means I've done something great.
Right.
It means I'm part of a club finally. It's the end and the means. Like, it's like they are so focused on the raising. It's the number one priority. And it drives me crazy. Raising money is great. I've raised money. But it's not the goal. It's
no.
a tool to get to somewhere, but it's not the end of it.
Yeah.
And every founder I know that has raised money for the first time, you ask them 3, 6, 9 months down the line, and they're very realistic or cynical about
raising money.
And they go, yeah, I mean, I'm grateful, but okay, it's not what I thought it would be.
That's awesome.
Right? It really isn't.
I usually try to tell them what it's going to be. So...
Yeah,
that's why I'm wondering, is it really prevalent, right?
So, I do think that the majority will always gravitate to whatever is most,
yep,
popular, right?
Yep.
And there's these big companies,
yep,
there's these VCs that have interest to creating these billion-dollar businesses, even if more companies fail, because that's how their portfolio
works.
That's
their model.
That's their model.
They don't need all of them to work.
The press,
they're not designed to work.
The press wants to have the story of the unicorn once in a,
yes,
lifetime, because that sells more page view. More,
yep,
people want to read that story.
Yep.
So there's this whole like massive kind of brainwash machine that says you want to be a popular, you want to be kind of, it's like the same thing with like whatever, you could call it the beauty industry, where it's like you want to look this way if you want to be the most beautiful person, and everybody should want to look like that because we all should want to be beautiful, right? That's right. Under a certain specific definition. And then we all, like, in the around the world, we sell magazines and covers and we have movie TV shows and everything, and we all want to look like one type of person. So that's, I think, what most people gravitate to. And then there's people many times that will not be able to be part of that for whatever reason, or will decide not to be part of it. And then to justify that they're not part of it, they will demonize it, or they will say, these people are all stupid and ugly and bad. And I'm in this minority that's smarter than them, and we're better. So, you know, because if I can't be part of the club, I have to just
make
my own club and say that that club sucked anyways, right?
Of course, because you need people in a club.
There you go. And you don't want to, you know, you don't want to say this is the best club ever and I'm just not worthy enough of being part of it.
No.
You don't want to feel that. You want to go, if I can't be part of this, then I don't want to be part of it, right? So that's, I think, overly simplified, but the two big camps of the, you need to be $1 billion, raise all the money, be the next Google, or you're nothing camp. On the other camp, that's like, you want to self-fund, grow slow, and you never want to take any investor money under any circumstances or be on any real press because all that is bullshit. And both camps are wrong in the oversimplification of the, this is one rule everybody should follow.
Absolutely.
But I think that too many entrepreneurs buy into that bullshit. And we were talking about one specific VC that we both know. We're not going to name any names.
No.
That gives a lot of advice that I translate into, if you don't look like I want you to look like, you're ugly and you're not worth anything. If you're not blonde, blue-eyed, and have this and this kind of measurements, you're ugly. You should feel ashamed and you should feel not enough. And it drives me crazy when I hear shit like that.
And the good news is there's other VCs that I've seen that actually counter that point. And they don't even directly counter it like, oh, that person wrote this, I'm going to write this. But they counter it and say there's a lot of different ways to make money. And there's a lot of different ways to grow these businesses.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think the other thing is oftentimes, especially with investors, I see them having, obviously, just like all of us, some limited personal experience. And then they extrapolate that out into all these lessons for everybody else off of just one maybe fantastic experience. And that leads to more brainwashing, more dogma, because the thing is, like, if you did something, I don't know, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, the environment's changed. And a lot of the things you learned are probably not relevant anymore. And you forget oftentimes that, like, it might have just been easier when you did it just because there was less.
Yeah. That's a
critical thing. And by sharing what you did, it's not a bad thing. It's just if you preach it the way you do, the way you were describing, where it's like everything else is shit, then you're just perpetuating probably something wrong, right?
Yeah, but you are, I mean, I understand why you're doing it, because you have a self-interest to have as many people as possible
look on that model.
On that model.
Because you think it will make you money as an investor.
Yes. So you're teaching everybody that that's the only model people should care about. Right. And if you have another model, you don't want to do this, this, and this. Then you have a business that's not worthy for the big league.
It's not going to
be big enough or great enough or whatever.
It might even be totally wrong.
Oftentimes it is. Look at some of the biggest success stories of all time. They didn't really start as obvious big ideas.
Structure or process or anything.
It's very tough to know.
I should ask you, do all sales teams look the same?
No.
Are they stamped out?
No.
Because I think that's one of the ones that makes me upset, right? It's like people think there's a way to stamp out B2B inside sales teams, and like I'm just asking you because you should know.
No, I do think that there's common good practices everywhere, right? Things that have worked and things that might work again, but there's not one way to do this. There's not one way to do anything, and we are, like, most people are looking for the one way because that's such an appealing idea. Like, just give me the one solution that will guarantee work, right? I mean, that's much more appealing than give me 7 options and I have to explore which one is going to be right or invent my 8th option.
Yeah.
That is more complicated, more work, more doubt. So that's why so many times when people ask us for advice, the first reaction is, it depends.
Yeah.
Oh, Stella, should I do this, this, or this? I don't know. It depends. Like, there's no, this is the one answer for you that will guarantee work. And that's why I think we both have a fairly similar framework in the way we give advice and the way we take advice, that's why it annoys us when people use another framework that's much more I have figured it out. Yeah. This is the answer for everybody.
Yeah.
Because that goes very much against our worldview.
Yeah, there's no one answer for everybody.
There's just no one answer for everybody.
Maybe food's the answer, but nothing else. Or water.
Even there. Yeah. So, okay, so enough about the rant part of it. I mean, my...
What should people do? How should they think
yeah,
about it?
Yeah, how should they... Going? Yeah, yeah, let's just some practical... Oh, and just a funny side note, I was talking to... a founder the other day who had went through an incubator, tried to raise money. It didn't work out. They just shut down the company. And he asked me, he was like, Steli, you know, I don't want to start a company right now, but I want to join a rocket ship startup to learn all the things that I did wrong. And I want to see how, like, you know, you raise an A, B, C, and how you hire all these people and how you become this huge unicorn thing. How can I guarantee that I'm going to find the rocket ship startup? I'm like, dude, if you want a guarantee that you're going to be working at a rocket ship startup, you need to go to, you know, SpaceX and work there. There's no fucking...
There's no rocket ship startup.
Here's the four things that will guarantee... There's some things that look like it, but tomorrow they might not anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing examples of that all over the place right now.
So there's no, here's the formula, and then you go and you're guaranteed... If you want rocket ship, you go to a rocket ship company, but there's no formula that's that easy to pick out on.
That's right.
Anyways, what should people do? How should let's focus and zoom in on inexperienced founders, founders that are still at the early part of their journey as kind of business people, and they read and consume a lot of advice. They read a lot because they want to learn a lot, and they have a lot of questions. How do they? What is a framework that is going to serve them the best?
Well, usually if you're inexperienced and you haven't raised money yet, you know, or maybe haven't even started your own business yet.
Have right? never maybe had a business with revenue, yeah, have never hired employees, yeah.
There's a lot of things you just don't know. And I don't mean you don't know what you don't know. I don't care about that. But like, there's just a lot of things you don't know. And so, you know, one approach would be like, go really dig in and try to pick a camp. Right? If there are so many camps, like, and I need to pick a camp, I should pick a camp. So that's one approach.
Yeah.
Right? I think it's probably the most human approach because we like to identify with things. Mm-hmm. So as much as I want to say, oh, don't do that, I think picking a camp is important.
It's important.
And realizing that you're just picking a camp.
Yes.
And it can change, but you're picking a camp because you need to have some framework to approach your business. For example, if you're let's just pick the easiest camp, self-funding versus taking money, right? Venture funding. Those are camps. Depending on your skill set, you might pick one or the other. Depending on your means, you might pick one or the other, right? But they're vastly different approaches and frameworks you would take. In a self-funded business, I would tell you just find some idea that'll make you money on day zero, day one, day seven, right? And all the success stories I've seen on the self-funded side always made money super fast. That would be the one thing I would say. I've definitely seen that, right? Or they had enough money or time to survive until they made money. That's the caveat. But either way, it's one or two, right? And then on the funding side, it's like you're worried more about size of idea, market, not market size, but like market potential and things like that you might not worry about when you're self-funding. Now, that doesn't mean I'm saying that like on a venture funding company, you always need to worry about that. It's just like commonly people tend to worry about that because they're going to have to explain to somebody why it's worth putting a lot of money into it and how you're going to grow it once you have money. While a self-funding company, you don't care. You're just trying to make ends meet and make money so you can eventually be profitable and maybe feed your family, not have to work again and things like that. So I think there's also a way to think about the goals on those two different things. But I would say the first tip or suggestion I would give on this would be pick a camp, know what those camps look like, and then figure out how you want to execute.
Yeah, I love that because I do believe it's overly idealistic to assume that you can always operate within all camps, right? And probably not pragmatic or practical.
You're hedging then.
Yes.
I don't think things are, especially new things aren't built with hedges.
Yes. But I love I think our main point with this episode is that even realizing that there are camps versus being lost in it and thinking this is the only way, like not even realizing I've chosen a model or a group that function in a certain way that has all these interest groups that has all these like these dynamics, I need to understand how this group works and then I can use it and be part of it versus thinking I want to be a business person and this is the only way to be a business person. I think that alone, that awareness alone can make a big difference, and the understanding that once you've picked a camp, you don't have to stick to it forever.
No.
You can either switch camps or start the next business in another camp and